Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. As you know, I'm Lon, and we're so glad to have you here to study the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible with us today. We're in a series on the Gospels, and we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 12, where we left off last week. But let's pray first, shall we? Let's bow our heads. And let's take a moment to quiet our hearts before the Lord, confess our sins of this past week, and ask Him to forgive us and cleanse us and open the channel fully for the Holy Spirit to speak to us from His Word today. Lord Jesus, thank You for forgiving us for our sins each and every day, and for cleansing us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. Lord, we love You for Your love for us, and we pray now that the Holy Spirit would illuminate our hearts and would take the Word of God and challenge our hearts and give hope to our hearts with it. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. Okay. All right, so we're using the New King James Version of the Bible, and let's pick up then, shall we, in Luke chapter 12, where we left off last week. Now remember the context of Luke 12. Jesus has been talking to the crowd about the hypocrisy of the rabbis. And so chapter 12, verse 1, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled on one another, He, Jesus, began to say to His disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And this is what He's been talking about. Yeast in the Bible is generally not a good thing. This is what has to be cleaned out of every Jewish home before Passover can begin. It's used in other places in the New Testament in a negative light. And this is used, how Jesus is using it here. For there is nothing covered, verse 2, that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in darkness will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetop. Now, remember I told you, I think this is a season where we all need hope. And there's great hope in these words. This is not primarily what we're going to talk about today, but let me just point out the great hope in these words in this chapter. One of the things that discourages us the most is when people get away with things. They scheme, they plot, and then they pull those things off, unrighteous things. And some often we're the object of that. We're the ones who they scheme and plot against and do unrighteous things to. And we get discouraged because it looks like they got away with it. Hey, friends, it brings great hope to me to know that nobody's getting away with anything. Jesus says, what you've spoken, everybody in the inner rooms will be shouted from the rooftops. Nobody's getting away with a thing. When Jesus judges at the great white throne judgment, He is going to judge everybody by everything they've done. And so this gives me great hope. Even though I don't like being mistreated, I can say, well, you're not going to get away with that. You may not get it in this life, the repercussions, righteous repercussions of what you did to me, but you're going to get it, my friend, when the Lord judges you. So, you know, thank you, God, for reminding me that You are a just God and that You're going to make sure justice is carried out to everything that ever happened on this earth to me and everybody else. Praise the Lord. That brings hope. All right. Now, let's move on to what we really want to talk about today. Jesus says, verse 8, and also I say to you, whoever confesses Me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies Me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And if you're standing up for Jesus and you got called on to have to defend yourself, Jesus says, and when they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you will answer or what you will say, For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that same hour what you ought to say. Now, this passage right here is a very sobering passage. Jesus talks about people who are ashamed of him and will not confess him before men. Jesus says these same kind of things in Luke chapter 9. Look back at Luke chapter 9, verse 26. This is not the only place he says this. He says it also this in Mark chapter 8, but look at Luke chapter 9, verse 26. He says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him or her, the Son of Man, Jesus, will be ashamed of when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's glory and the glory of the holy angels." So this is not the only time Jesus has admonished us to not be ashamed of him. Now, we go to heaven because of our trust in Christ and what he did for us on the cross. But once we've trusted him, we have to be willing to stand up and not be ashamed of him. And what does it mean for him to say he will be ashamed of us? Well, folks, I'm not entirely 100% sure. I mean, he's not going to take our salvation away. But whatever it means is not good. I don't want to be on the receiving end of him saying he won't confess me before the angels. Yeah, I'll get into heaven if I've trusted Christ. But whatever he means by this, I don't want it. Which means that I need to be certain and careful that I confess him before men and I'm not ashamed of him before men. And this is, I mean, there are times where I'm afraid in my early Christian life, I've been ashamed of the Lord. I've been embarrassed to stand up for him. And I'll talk more to you in a moment about that. But, you know, this is a real exhortation to you and me and a challenge to us. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage, but we want to ask our most important question now. I know it's a little early in the message, but this is what we're doing today. So are you ready? Come on now, ready? One, two, three, what? So what? Yeah. And to be able to preach the gospel freely and openly in our nation and for my health to be restored so I can keep doing it. You know what we say, come on, with Jackie Gleason and me, how sweet it is. Absolutely. Okay. Now, this theme of not being ashamed of Jesus is repeated by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, not just in his example. You talk about an example of not being ashamed of the Lord. Wow, what a great example. But look what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He's writing Timothy. And look what he says to Timothy, verse 8. "Therefore," he says, "do not be ashamed," there you go, "of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." Paul was in jail as he was writing this. "But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." And probably the most famous verse in this regard in Paul's letters is in Romans chapter 1. Look at this. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, folks, before we talk about not being ashamed of the gospel and the Lord, what we first need to define what the gospel is, because there's some confusion about that, I'm afraid, among our preachers today, particularly our younger preachers. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go there with me. Let's put it on the screen. Verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. Here's the definition of the gospel. "For I delivered to you," Paul says, "first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." This is the gospel. The gospel is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death on the cross to initiate the plan of salvation, to shed his blood, to cover our sin, and purchase our place in heaven and then going into the ground and rising again to prove that his plan of salvation is the correct plan of salvation. His plan of salvation is the plan of salvation that will really work to bring us eternal life and to bring us heaven. That is the gospel. If you hear preachers preaching the gospel, they will not be talking about tithing. They will not be talking about baptism. They will not be talking about Christian life truth. They will not be talking about doing good works as a Christian. No, no. They'll be talking about Jesus and his death, his burial, and his resurrection and what that brings us in the mercy of God. Okay, that's the gospel. So let me say this. To not be ashamed of the gospel means to not be ashamed of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and the resurrection. You hear me? To be not ashamed of the gospel means to be not ashamed of Jesus as the Bible presents him, as the second person in the Godhead wrapped in human flesh. All right. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus and what he did for me. Let's go, because he says, what rest of the verse? Verse 16, for it, the gospel, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek or the Gentile. This is why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to Jewish people and Gentile people together. All right. Now, Paul understood the power of the gospel because he had experienced the power of the gospel. He was on the road to Damascus when the living Christ knocked him onto the ground, and where he had heard the gospel preached when he stood and listened to Stephen being stoned in Acts chapter 7. He heard the gospel. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, I delivered to you what was delivered to me. Who delivered to him the gospel? Well, we know Stephen did. And since Paul was arresting lots of Christians before the Damascus Road experience, maybe some of them preached the gospel to him. He said, but it was delivered to me. What? The message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And he said, then I experienced the power of it right there on the Damascus Road and how it absolutely revolutionized and changed my whole life. So Paul said, I know it works. And that's why I am not ashamed of it, because I know anybody who takes the gospel, the truth of the gospel, into their life, the gospel is going to change and transform their life. And I hope you know that power in your life. Friends, I know that power. I know what the gospel did to me 50 years ago. My 50th birthday as a believer is this month. And I know how it changed my life. I hope you know that. I hope that the gospel for you is not just something you sit in church and listen to, but the gospel for you is the actual record of the power of God operating in your life as you trusted Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Now, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And Timothy, I don't want you to be ashamed of the gospel either. And just to go back to 2 Timothy for one moment, Paul says in verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, it's now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, watch, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul says, this is what the gospel does. Why would I be ashamed of something that brings life and immortality? He goes on to say, verse 11, to which I was appointed as a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles for this reason, verse 12, I also suffer these things. What reason? Because the gospel brings life and immortality. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Watch, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him. What had Paul committed to him? His whole life. his whole eternal destiny. He's able to keep it, Paul says, unto that day, the day of judgment. Okay, now, all of this brings us to you and me. My friends, how are we doing with this? You know, I got to be honest with you and tell you, in my early years as a believer, there were some times, more times than I wish I didn't have to admit, where I was embarrassed to stand up for the Lord, where I was ashamed, where my face flushed with blood and got red. There were some wonderful times where I wasn't ashamed of Christ, but then there were times I was, and I'm sad to admit that. I was intimidated by the embarrassment that I knew I was going to suffer, or by the ridicule that I knew I was going to suffer, or by the persecution that and the mistreatment that I knew I was going to suffer. And I'm so sorry that I did that. Listen, I'm sure there are times you've been ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Of course, you know, men can intimidate us, and women. I mean, you know, human beings can intimidate us so that we back off and we back down. But friends, we can't go back and change what we've already done. We can ask the Lord to forgive us for that, but we can change what we do from this point forward. Having experienced the power of the gospel in my life, and hopefully you have too, there's no reason for us to be ashamed. Why should I be ashamed of a person who can bring eternal life and immortality and heaven to people? And I don't want him to be ashamed of me. So why would I want to be ashamed of him? So I want to challenge you. Folks, we need to go out every day being minute men and minute women, willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus in a moment's notice. Now, you know, using that term minute man or minute woman reminds me of a story about the great evangelist Dwight L. Moody. He died in 1899, and he led several million people to Christ before there was television, internet, radio. This was all by having personal outdoor meetings. And he was the forerunner of the open-air crusades that Billy Graham is so famous for, and Franklin Graham. But Moody only had a third-grade education, but the Lord Jesus came into his life. The gospel transformed him in power. And he was an amazing representative of not being ashamed of the gospel. And Paul says, look, Romans chapter 1, verse 15, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. Some verses translated, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. This was Paul, too, a minute man, ready to preach the gospel at any moment. Well, here's the story. Mr. Moody, of course, who loved to pride himself on being a minute man, ready to preach at any moment, he had a friend named A.J. Bell, who was a man that went on to be a great evangelist. But he was just a friend of Moody in his early years. And I want to quote from Mr. Moody's biography something that this good friend of his, A.J. Bell, recounts. All right, I'm quoting now. Here we go. Quote, one day the leader of the meeting did not arrive in time, and Mr. Moody came to me and asked that I take charge. I had just arrived from a journey. I was hot and dusty, and I said, Mr. Moody, I'm just in from a long journey. Please excuse me, and I will lead the meeting some other time. I shall never forget his response. It was the turning point in my life. I thought you were a Christian soldier, Moody said. Go forward, and we will pray for you. Well, Bell did, and as soon as the meeting was over, he came forward and thanked me. Moody, speaking now, said, you did well, but this holding back, it is all wrong. Your duty is clear. Keep in front. Be a minute man for Jesus. Mr. Bell, in closing, said, in 25 years, I have never forgotten that expression, that expression, minute man. And since then, I have been at the front in evangelistic work. And this is Paul. Paul was a minute man for Jesus. Moody was a minute man for Jesus. And he challenged his friend Bell to be a minute man for Jesus. And friends, in that same spirit, I want to challenge you and me to be minute men, minute women for Jesus, ready at any point to speak the gospel. This is what Paul says to Timothy a little bit later. He says to him, Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season to preach the gospel. We should go out of our house every day, my friends, ready at any moment when God gives us an opening that we're going to share the gospel if we can get it in. But we're certainly going to stand up for Jesus and not be ashamed of him. And you know, Jesus talks to this very issue of letting people intimidate us, right in Luke chapter 12, in the couple of verses just before what we picked up with. Look, he says in chapter 12, verse 4 of Luke's gospel, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more they can do to you. But I warn you, whom you should fear, fear him, God, who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. I think of this often these days when I'm trying to be as unashamed of Jesus as I possibly can. Jesus says, don't fear, man. Lon, you're going to heaven. The worst they can do to you is kill your body. And after they do, they can't do anything to you. I think of people that are beheaded by ISIS because they won't deny Christ. Okay, so they cut my head off and I go to heaven. What else are they going to do to me? Kick my dead body? Hang it from a wall? I don't care. I'm not in it anymore. They can do anything they want to with it. I don't care. They can't do anything more to me. I'm in heaven with the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, fear him, the Lord. Stand up for him. Don't be ashamed of him. He's the one we need to worry about. And not men. The worst they can do is what? They can embarrass us. They can mock us. They can ridicule us. They can kill us. But that's the worst they can do. And then we go be with the Lord. Okay. Now, I want to close with one final thought. And that is found in the book of Hebrews. Listen. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at this, verse 11. It says at the end of the verse, for which reason he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them, that is, his followers, brethren. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, it says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is talking about people who walk by faith. That God is not ashamed to be called their God and has prepared the heavenly Jerusalem for his followers. Twice in the Bible, it says God is not ashamed of us as his children in Christ. Friends, if anybody should be ashamed of anybody, this is my final thought, God, the living, holy God of the universe, ought to be ashamed of us. Yeah. And he's not. Praise the Lord for that. He's not ashamed of us once we give our heart and life to Christ. He's not ashamed to be called our God. Well, here's the deal. If God's not ashamed of me, then what in the world am I doing being ashamed of him? Makes no sense. My friends, we all need to be jiggered on this issue. We all need to be challenged on this issue. We all need to be exhorted from the scripture on this issue, because all of us sometimes allow men and women to intimidate us. But don't fear them who, after they've killed the body, there's nothing else they can do. Don't worry about them. Let's fear God, and let's be unashamed of the Lord Jesus. And might I point out, many times we're willing to mention God, but we're not willing to mention Jesus, because we know Jesus is more offensive to people than to say God. But we don't know what God, what they may be thinking about. When we say God, they may be thinking about Allah, or they may be thinking about Nirvana and Buddhists and whatever nonsense. No, we need to say Jesus more than we do. We stand up for Jesus. He's the star of the gospel. He's the central figure of the gospel. And saying Jesus prevents people from misunderstanding us and saying, oh, okay, God. Well, my God's Allah, so I guess I can get to heaven with my God. No, you can't. Jesus. Now, I want to close with a poem. It's actually a hymn that I want to give you just a couple of lines from. It's written by Joseph Grigg. And here it is. We'll put it on the screen. Jesus, and shall it ever be? A mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom the angels praise? Whose glories shine through endless days? Ashamed of Jesus? Yes, I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. Yeah, that's when I might be ashamed of him, but that'll never be. Ashamed of Jesus, last verse, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend. Oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. Let's pray. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to give you a moment to repent of the times you've been ashamed of the Lord and been embarrassed to stand for him, to mention him. I want you to ask God to forgive us of these times. And then I hope we can say, Lord Jesus, beginning today, by the power of your Spirit in me, if you'll help me, Lord, give me the power. I promise I'm going to try never to be ashamed of you again, Lord Jesus, because you're not ashamed of me. Even though in my fleshly sinfulness you should be, you're not. So then, my gosh, why should I ever be ashamed of you? Take a moment and talk to God. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for the many times in my Christian life that I have failed you and I have been embarrassed and ashamed to mention you and to stand for you openly. Jesus, forgive me, please. And help me do better by the power of the Holy Spirit giving me that boldness every moment in my life. Help me be a minute man, ready always to stand for Christ. May, Lord, I never let men cause me to fear again. Oh, may this my glory be, as the hymn said, that Christ is not ashamed of me, and may I never be ashamed of him ever again. And I pray this, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, my friends, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. We'll see you next week on Live with Lon. And let's try hard this week to be minute men and minute women for the Lord Jesus. Let's try hard this week not to be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but to proclaim him and it with boldness, with sensitivity and manners, but boldly. May God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Ya'er Adonai panave lecha avichu necha. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Yisad Adonai panave lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. God bless.